Hello and welcome along to another very special edition of the From the Horse's Mouth podcast. My name is Tom Nugent and this is the Cheltenham Festival Review Extra. The Junior B podcast rides again. And I'm delighted to be joined by my partner in crime, Mr. Frank Hickey. Frank, how are things?
I'm all right, Thomas, and yourself?
I'm very well. Cheltenham feels like a distant memory, yet here we are about to have one last dig at PK until we come back next year for the latest season. I'm not sure if PK will make it to next year. I don't know if he can stick it. If he can stick all this slagging.
Look, we won't ruin the rest of the podcast, but geez, he was lucky not to get a dig, wasn't he?
There were suggested hugs and everything. I didn't know. I thought it could have all gone south.
I would have priced it 1 to 10 a punch and maybe 6 to 1 a hug, with the way I'd have priced it, like what he was going to get off Ruby. But yeah, he was lucky to avoid it.
He's a lucky boy. But we're lucky boys, Frank. We're about to discuss the 2023 Cheltenham Festival, and I wanted to get your take on a few of the results. But first and foremost, Ruby Walsh kicked things off the main pod by announcing the death of anti-post punting, more or less. So that was a strong angle from Ruby, who's just spent the last 8 weeks doing an anti-post podcast. There's merit to what he's saying, I think.
Yeah. Like, look, I think what you're getting now is these markets are up, but there isn't much confidence behind them because you literally have no idea what's going to be running in races. And these maybe uncompetitive prices, as he alluded to, are as a result of the race and becoming uncompetitive. Like, anti-post betting at Cheltenham for the last 3 or 4 years has been a bloodbath for bookmakers because the racing's been quite uncompetitive and favourites are winning, particularly the graded races. And most punters are putting these favourites in multiples and you're getting absolutely slaughtered. You cannot win. So, like, it is a function of the racing becoming uncompetitive. Now, this year was great. It was a lot more competitive. And that's, I think, why you got such, you know, examples of horses going off bigger prices, because the racing was actually more competitive than you would have anticipated 2 or 3 weeks out. You know, there were more runners in races and you probably had more horses with chances than you would have expected. Like, even, say, the Turners, you were looking at it thinking this might be 4 or 5 run a race, and like you've ended up with Stage Star, the Laura Morgan horse not long till May, a few others in there that you might have expected. And, you know, that's going to maybe pull the price down from a couple, you know. And that's just the way it is. Now, there was some unbelievable moves on the exchange through the week, some of them absolutely bizarre. From, like, you can only guess, but it looked like someone was just smashing things up on the exchange around 1 o'clock every day. The Goffer, Ludus, and Queen's Book were examples on the Tuesday. Like, the Goffer had got out to, I think, 20 odd on the exchange in the morning. At one stage, I looked and it was into like 7 point something. Absolutely huge move. And, you know, for someone to move it that much, they'd want very, very deep pockets. And you had examples through the week as well. Marvel de Cerisi was another one that was smashed up. And yeah, it was very strange. But and the timing of when it happened during the day to me wouldn't suggest it was, you know, a firm hedging either. Like, you know, why would you hedge at that time? You'd wait until, you know, the show nearly when liquidity is at its highest and, you know, you'd get more out of it. So very bizarre. But look, I suppose it makes it all the more exciting, doesn't it?
It does indeed, Frank. But the nuances of betting markets maybe aren't for everyone. So we'll get stuck into some of the results.
But just mention as well of PK going glamping next year. Like, yeah, that's... Like, yeah, he's a massive glamper, I'd say.
Yeah, I'd say he's big into his glamping. Sometimes it's easier to just say nothing, isn't it?
I think he needs to learn that secret, yeah.
Attendances, Frank. Ruby noticed it was quietish. I was there for the week. £7.50 for a pint. Now, whilst it was quieter than other years, they're still pretty busy. They're still very, very busy. Now, I know you're chained to your desk in Paddy Power and somebody's baiting your back, trying to not only trade Cheltenham, but get the prices up for Sheffield and whatever else that week as well. So you're busy and you haven't lifted your head. But I just thought it's interesting that everyone's panicking about the numbers being back a little bit, even though it's very busy and they're making an absolute fortune.
What I thought was interesting is, oh, they anticipate to get back to pre-pandemic levels next year. And like, at the end of the day, you need to give value for money. Like, look, the racing, I thought it was a really enjoyable festival to watch this year. There were very few races that were like, you know, a gimme going into them. I thought it was really exciting, loved it all. But like, at the same time, some of the prices you're hearing there, like, for, as you said, to get in, £30 to park your car, come on, that's absolute racketeering nearly. You know, it's not profiteering, it's just mental. You know, if you're paying £100 for a ticket, and then, you know, it needs to offer value for money. And I think it's a little bit tone deaf for the times we're in at the moment as well. Like, you know,
I reckon Leopardstown and Punchestown could do very well, in particular Leopardstown, the Dublin Racing Festival off the back of it. Leopardstown was full of English racing fans this year, and I would say I wouldn't be surprised if that nearly doubles next year. It will be absolutely wedged, because they can come to Dublin, drink in good pubs in town, get a hotel that's still expensive, but they can come for a weekend, maybe stay two or three nights, and it'll probably come out the same as going to Cheltenham for a day and getting a train down and back.
But that's it. Like, as in, you know, you can stay in Dublin, as you said, have a good night, have good nightlife. You don't really have to commute. You can jump on the Lewis. Do you know what I mean? What's it to get in to Leopardstown? £35, €35. Yeah. Euro. So you change that to sterling, £30 less, as opposed to paying £100. Yeah, like, look, Cheltenham are going to have to look at it, because I can see, as you said, people coming for Leopardstown, people coming for Punchestown even. It's just better value, and you know, the racing, particularly the Dublin Racing Festival, is every bit as good.
Everybody's good, but here we are yet to discuss the Cheltenham Festival results. And Frank, we're going to kick things off with the Supreme. And in fairness to Barry Connell, who put his neck on the line and told everyone who would listen, I have the best novice hurdler in the UK or Ireland at the moment. And there was a lot of people ready to shoot at him, I'd say, Frank, if Marine National had got beaten, but Jesus, there was no fluke. He was the best horse on the day and probably the best horse going forward.
You'd have to respect the man to have cojones that big to come out and, you know, put him on the line. Like, it's just a lot easier to say nothing and rock up and win, and then afterwards go, yeah, I knew I had the best one. Like, he had the confidence in the horse to come out and say it. And, you know, we're all on Twitter and we're all reading opinions and stuff, but I thought it was just nonsense reading how people were saying Facel Vega went too soon. Like, when's he gone? He's gone, like, after jumping the second last turning in. And, like, when you go back through history, Vitor and Faheen and the likes were all good enough to be leading at that stage and win. He just bumped into a better horse. And if you put it this way, if Paul had held on to him to the final hurdle, who's going to win a sprint up the running? Marine National or Facel Vega? He'd have beaten him anyway. An absolutely brilliant performance from Marine National and a brilliant performance from Michael O'Sullivan. To have the nerve for inexperienced jockey like him to wait and wait, and he waited until after the last, really. And yeah, he barely had to get serious with him, really. Did he give him one or two flicks of the whip? Was about it. Very impressive. Couldn't see any reason why Facel Vega could reverse the Punchestown. And even listen to Ruby, you're going to get the impression Facel Vega's going out to 2.5 at Punchestown.
Yeah, very much so.
Marine Ash, very good horse. Thought Diverge run a big race in the pocket. Very strange decision to supplement him, considering the way the race went. He was crying out for 2.5 miles. Yeah, I thought it was a strange decision. And I think maybe Connections might have regretted running the Supreme. You know, watching how the two races developed. Behind that, look, Diverge going to improve at Punchestown again, but at the same time, I couldn't see how he reverses with Marine National. Dark Raven was a big mover on the show, 22s into 11. You can kind of see why, I suppose, people were looking for the each-way angle against, you know, Facel Vega and Marine National, with the doubts about the ground from Marine National, slight doubts anyway, and Facel Vega being short. Yeah, he ran okay, weakened out, but up the hill. And look, Dr. Bravo, Don't think he's up to grade one level, but I'd keep him on side for a decent handicap. I didn't think he shaped that badly. But I think the other thing to take out of it was, of the first eight home, they were all Irish out of nine Irish runners. So it was a very disappointing race for the British novices. They were very poor.
And that was a theme throughout the week, and particularly the novice races, Frank. We'll move on to discuss the Arkle here. And El Fabiolo Ruby reckons if he can get his jumping a bit more professional, he could shape into just being different gear. He could shape into being a proper champion chase horse. What were your thoughts on El Fabiolo? And obviously, Saint Rob was a big eye catcher for Ruby as well.
Look, I thought El Fabiolo was... He has some engine. Look, his jumping wasn't perfect, far from it, but it was satisfactory. He never looked like falling either at any stage, you know? He can definitely improve, but yeah, he's a serious engine. It's even strange how, you know, Paul went up the inside of Dicer Dino, and, you know, he seemed to have that much confidence in the horse where you would have thought the safer thing to do was maybe swing a bit wider. And get a clear run down the outside, but not went up the inside of Dicer Dynamo and just went away from them. Really impressive. Yeah, he's a serious horse, and a fair play to Ruby. Put him up at the start of the season as his novice chaser to follow. So it was good going from Ruby there too.
Yes, indeed. Champion Hurdle, Frank, there aren't enough superlatives, I don't think, and they've probably been all said at this stage. If Constitution Hill was yours, what are you doing next season? Are you farming the Champion Hurdle? Are you going chasing? Or would you be tempted to have a go on the flat? You can probably do anything, can't you? You could nearly go in and lead the next Irish government for all he wants to do. But go on anyway. What do you think Constitution Hill could do next?
Even though he can't speak English, I reckon he'd do a lot better job than a lot of our Muppets in there anyway. I don't know. I think they should go chasing with him. I just think, you know, you could really cement him as one of the all-time greats if you could win a Gold Cup with him. And I think he's capable of it. I don't think he's just all speed. I just think he's absolutely a machine. You know, what I was surprised about was the rating he got after the race. I thought he'd be getting close to 180. Because Stateman went into, I think, rated 167, and he's beaten him 9 lengths, as he liked. They've dropped Stateman a pound and only raised Constitution Hill to 175, is that correct? I don't know how much more you have to do, maybe, to get up to 180. But he's an incredible horse, an absolute incredible horse. Again, it was interesting to watch the tactics of the race. I think most people had expected Paul to maybe make it and, you know, just see what he could do with Constitution, but he obviously decided he was going to track him and try and, you know, have one run at him, but he couldn't get near him. He's just an absolute, you know, amazing horse. And I just think I'd like to see him go over fences for something different, you know. Like, yeah, he could win 3 or 4 Champion Hurdles if he stays fit, but he could do something unbelievably special at the same time if he goes over fences. And I'd probably think as well, if you do go over fences, I'd be like, you know, I think you just, like, say if you wanted to go next year 2 miles chasing, I wouldn't even run the Arkle with him. I'd you know, run maybe in a novice race. You could even run in the novice race at Kempton and then aim for the champion chase, you know, run the game spirit and run the champion chase. I think he'd win that, and then stretch him out then the following season as an 8-year-old.
Done, run
King George and Gold Cup. I think, you know, if you really wanted to make history, and that's the route.
Now, bear in mind, this is the same Frank Hickey that's been overlooked for the Clissutton race planning job on a number of occasions. So, 7 Barrows, if you're listening,
but yeah, but like, I suppose you're looking at, like, yeah, you could take the relatively conservative route and win 2 or 3 Champion Hurdles, and he'd be regarded
that's
as...
That's what Ruby was saying, but he openly said he was just a conservative.
That would be conservative, but I mean, what, like, and he would go down in history if he won 4 Champion Hurdles, but at the same time, imagine if he won a Champion Chase and a Gold Cup and a Champion Hurdle. Do you know what I mean? Because you look at... Fair enough, he might have El Fabiolo in the champion chase next year, but, like, I don't think you'd be overly afraid running against Energamine in that division. So I think you could, you know, fast track him a little bit and have a couple of chases, you know, novice chases, hit for the champion chase, and then gear the following season around stepping up and trip. I don't know. It'd just be something exciting and different. I'd like to see it happen, but whether it will or won't, I don't know.
There was, without a shadow of doubt, magic in the air on Tuesday afternoon at Cheltenham. It was a fantastic occasion. Whether you were there or watching on television, you couldn't help be drawn in by what was happening. Obviously, Constitution Hill, so impressive. You've got a great story in the first, Barry Connell and Michael O'Sullivan bringing Marie Nationale to win the Supreme Novice Hurdle well, but the crowning moment for me, Frank, and I'm sure for a lot of people as well, was Honeysuckle.
Jesse Matthew in the Bulls?
Not quite. Honeysuckle in the Mayor's Hurdle. Ruby Walsh called it a thing of beauty. Rory De Largy called it tremendous. It was hard not to get, for those who kind of watch a lot of Irish racing in particular, Henry de Bromhead would be a pretty reserved character, but to see Henry punching the air after the year that they've had, it was hard not to really get welled up and crack a smile for a family that's been through so much over the last 12 months.
Like what they've gone through is horrendous, and no family should have to go through it. And from that respect, it was great to see him win. I think everyone wanted it to happen, and it happened. And you know, even the way the race was run, if you look at sectionals, the only person that seemed to want to ruin the day for them was Johnny Burke on Love Envoy. The rest of the jockeys were kind of letting her at it. And the way the race was run, basically, if you're held up, you had no chance. It upgraded Echoes and Rain. Like, she was held up last the whole way. She kind of got into contention, jumping two out. And then when Love Envoy and Honeysuckle kicked, she just, you know, I couldn't live with them. But she's worth another chance somewhere along the line. Love Envoy's run a cracker. I think it was a very good ride from Johnny Burke, even though she got beat. Dictated everything. She jumped well. Just got beaten by a better mare. I think the thing about it is Honeysuckle probably didn't have to be anywhere near her best to win. But when she did, and, you know, I think that's something a lot of people remember for a long time. You know, when you're working in the office, you don't get to hear all the interviews and stuff afterwards. So I'm yet to hear, I think, did Lydia Hislop and Henry have a good interview? I need to watch that back. But yeah, look, delighted for them.
Very good. Very good. Onwards we go. The National Hunt Chase. Frank, PK asked Ruby, would Gallard and McNeil have won without Mallor Mission coming down? What did you think?
Absolutely.
You think he would have definitely closed?
This isn't after timing. We're watching it in the office, and we were like, Jesus, he's gone. And just as the camera on the side, it started to turn in. I just said it. I think Ryan was with me. I was like, his stride shortening, he's done. He's caught. Chemical Energy's going to get him. And obviously, Gallagher Neal's then run down Chemical Energy on the run-in. But like, even if you look at where Gallagher McNeil was turning in, he was only a couple lengths ahead of Mr. Coffey turning in, and he's beat him nearly 15 lengths, and he was about 6 lengths off Chemical Energy, and he's beat him nearly 3. You just look at it, and Mallor Mission's stride was definitely shortening, and to me it was a tired fall. He probably needed a long one, and he didn't have it in him, and he's taken an extra stride, and he's got in too tight, hit the fence and come down. He was running a good race, but he went too soon. I'm not saying like there's every chance he might be the best horse in the race, but I don't think he would have won, because I think the petrol gauge was emptying very quickly. And it was a good ride by Patrick to get Gallagher McNeil up, but he's interesting for the National, maybe, but they seem to be lukewarm enough on him running there.
Yeah, it didn't sound like it was likely at all. Ruby was kind of putting ice on that straight away, but it'll be interesting to see. You know yourself, Willie Mullins can change his mind. He's been known to do that in the past. Quick line, a sentence or less, Frank. Ultima or the Boodles, any word on those results?
I think, there'd be a couple I'd highlight out of it. Look, Cark Rambler is rightfully the Grand National favourite now. He's £10 well in. His hold-up tactics will require a bit of luck in the National, but he's every chance. Fast or slow, things take from that. Martin Brazel is an absolutely brilliant trainer, and any of his raiders in the UK have to be taken seriously. Very unlucky to get touched off there, as was an epic song on the Carl Cup.
Yes, twice
beaten ahead. Monbeg Genius ran a cracker for one, so inexperienced. He could possibly win for the Scottish National, but there's definitely a nice handicap in him. I would also give a note to T Clipper. I wouldn't give up on him. I think Soft Ground was against him, but he actually ran really well in six, considering he hadn't run since November. And the ground, as I said, was soft enough for him. And even Harper's Brook, really aggressive from the front. Jumped well, travelled well. Stamina just ran out for him. He has been dropped 2 pounds for that. I think he could win a nice handicap, drop back and trip over 2.5 miles. Maybe even at the April meeting there. There's a good handicap over 2.5 miles might suit him. The Boodles then, Jazzy Matty and Biker, 1-2, both ran that Nace race. That's such a good point for the Boodles. Just wouldn't forget Morning Soldier on good ground. And Zandabad, when going into handicaps, Morning Soldier was a non-runner in the morning. Zandabad missed the cup by one. They tie in with the 1-2 that day. I think Bad was strong in the market, far too free on his first start since November. I do think he's well handicapped. And there's a four-year-old handicap hurdle at Ask, I think, that might suit him. Have to give a mention to Mr. Freedom, travel into it. The jockey said it sadly slipped early, but he got a bad bump, 2 out, and then ran on into fifth. Despite the slip saddle, he was probably a little bit unlucky at the price. Metamorphous didn't get the best runs either, travel well, and I think he could be upgraded. While Sir Alan ran a very weird race, jumped off kind of in the front third, ended up being last, jumping 4 out, then was wide the whole way from there. Had to give a lot of running to get into contention, but faded back to be 11th. He's better than that. But yeah, that was how I saw the handicaps, anyway.
Day two, Frank, Imperial Passe, an impressive winner. Ruby thought he might shape into a champion hurdle type. So if Constitution Hill hangs around over hurdles, he could have fresh competition here. What did you think?
Look, I was taken by Imperial Passe. So it was really impressive. Now, the race was run to suit. It wasn't overly strongly run, and he had probably the best turn of foot. So, and that's the way it played out. He just sprinted away from them. The exchange move for Hermes Alain and the weakness of Imperial Passe was a bit unusual, but just looked like the big hitters on the exchange wanted to take him on, and it just proves they can get it wrong too from time to time. He's obviously a very good horse. Unlikely he's in the Constitution Hill level, but if Constitution Hill did go chasing, he'd probably be the one you want to be on for the champion hurdle next year. I wouldn't give up on Hermes Alain either. I don't think that was his true running, particularly when you look at you wear it well winning the Mayor's Novice. He's probably going to make up into a nice stage chaser next year.
Yes, indeed. Very good. Brand advisory, Frank, the real whacker held on. Jerry Kalam, the better horse going forward. What's your take?
Oh, Jesus, absolutely sick. I had a good bet on Jerry Kalam at the start of the year, and it was hard to take. But the finishing speed percentage was 103.5, so they didn't go very hard, and it probably just cost Jerry Kalam. Look, take nothing away from the real whacker. He jumped really well. But himself and Braun were 1-2 the whole way around, well positioned considering the pace wasn't overly strong, and his jumping won the day really, began to dictate. It wouldn't be difficult to see him winning something like the Cotswold Chase next year. Braun is one that I'd be very interested if he dropped back and trip for maybe the Fairy House and Avis Gold Cup. Thought he'd travel and jump really well as well. Oya Maximus was an eye catcher in his first start at 3 miles. Like, he's in the Irish National, but I'm not sure about that considering he can hang right. But I wouldn't rule him out of winning a decent race going left-handed, maybe something like the Kerry National, potentially in September. But Jerry Klang, look, he was the one inconvenienced by the steady pace. I think he's absolutely eating up the hill. The line just came a couple of strides too soon. I think he's the best prospect for next season out of the race. Gordon said he might go to Aintree, and I'd like to see him aimed at the Carl Trophy at Newbury next November. I think that race would suit him really, really well. The long straight would be ideal for him. I could just see him, you know, loving that test. And looking at the way that race has gone the last couple of years, you know, it's been, you know, one for more slightly exposed handicappers maybe than, you know, Gold Cup type. So I think there's a good chance, even with a big weight, he might be able to outclass them in a race like that. But he's definitely the one to take forward for the Gold Cup next year.
Lovely stuff. Champion Chase, Edwardstone, bet out the gate and up steps Energamine, Soft Ground, and away he goes.
Look, the ground suited him.
The race fell apart
100%. Edwardstone was never going. He was beaten halfway. Edward Geese didn't get the easy lead. Not the easy lead, but he just didn't get an uncontested lead this time. And it just probably compromised him a bit. Captain Guinness was a massive mover in the market. You were like, where is this coming from? But to be fair, he absolutely tanked into the race. Wasn't good enough to live with Enerkameen up the hill, but yeah, it was a very good performance. Enerkameen, he'd be 10 next year. I'd definitely be in the El Fabiolo camp if the two of them were to meet in the champion chase next year. Yeah, I think, look, he's a dual champion chase winner. You can take that away from him. But I do think both races fell apart a bit.
Bumper Frank, an 85-year-old teams up with an 18-year-old to both bag their first Cheltenham Festival winners. A dream to share. It was indeed a great story.
Yeah, brilliant story. Very good horse. Brilliant ride, to be fair to the young lad. He just kind of got the impression it was just track Patrick and deliver him late, and he did it, and the best horse won. Now, I will say one thing. Lecky Watson was very unlucky. Got absolutely mullered about a furlong out by Patrick. I don't know what Patrick got band-wise, but I imagine he got a good few days for that. That move left.
He could be having a quiet entry, maybe.
I didn't look at what he got, but yeah, it was probably a bad move. And it was probably, I think Harry Cobden and Captain Teague shifted right from the other side at the same time. So a number of them got a little bit inconvenienced, but particularly Lecky Watson. I was hugely unlucky. I'm not saying he would have won. I think he would have been close enough, though, considering he's yet to win a bumper, as far as I can remember. It was a huge run from him. Considering as well, he got nearly stopped at that point, but picked up again to finish fourth. Thought Western Diego traveled well, a bit too free, and he weakened up the hill. But he is an engine. I wouldn't give up on him next year over hurdles. Of the British, obviously Captain Teague ran really well. Favourite Fortune, I thought, travelled well. Again, far too free through the race. Didn't get home as a result. I'd like him back on decent ground on a flat track. He has plenty of ability. And I think No Time to Wait, one to keep in mind for novice hurdles, stepping up on trip next year. But yeah, I think the winner's very good. And yeah, you could even make an argument that he's a big price for the Supreme next year. Obviously, if like Willie Mullins had trained him, you'd be thinking he'd be, you know,
yeah,
much shorter. And I know everyone said that, but like he's proved he's won at Leopardstown well, he's won at Cheltenham well. There's no negatives. Yeah, he's got loads of ability now.
Good, very good.
The one I would take out for those Lecky Watson.
Lecky Watson for Frank Hickey in the bumper. Anything else worth a mention on day two?
Just the cross country, Delta Work and Galvin did their Grand National hopes. No harm, I thought. But ran really well. I think the ground just swung at Delta Works way. But I will say Galvin took to the test like a duck to water. He was very good considering it was his first, you know, race over the banks. In the Carl Cup, we've already mentioned an epic song, Cam Prond. Very unlucky for all the shrewd anti-post punters who are taking every price on him. He went off a wild price. Did he go off 20 something on the exchange eventually? Ground probably cost him again, but he's run a cracker. Wouldn't give up on him coming back to Punchdown. He might win again. Langer Dan finally got his Cheltenham win. I wouldn't give up and run for Oscar. The ground went against him. Captain Conby didn't get up the hill. Traveled really well. One to keep on your radar for Punchestown. And Watthouse Cross hadn't run since Christmas. I think it was just too fresh and keen. I still think there's a decent handicap on him off this sort of mark over hurdles around 2.5 miles.
Love that, Frank. Onwards we go. Day three, the Turners, Stage Star Francis, obviously bagged a winner for P. Nichols Esquire. Banbridge late on, courtesy of the ground. I know you're looking forward to him.
Yeah. I looked. There was some uneasiness in the on the exchange for him before declaration, so it was probably touch and go whether we're even going to declare him. They declared him, and obviously the ground's too soft. So, but I do think he's going to run an entry. Reading as some reports there yesterday. Look, this was won by the jockey, basically. Harry Cobden set steady fractions, jumped well in front, and Stage Star impressed with the way he jumped, etc. But the jockeys in behind him were sound asleep. And yeah, like, you'd have to question Davey Russell a little bit, like, criticising people, but at the same time, you know, there was a number of rides he had through the week that I would call questionable, and yeah.
You're listening to Michael O'Leary too much.
No. And I'll tell you, Mighty Potter sitting off the pace that was so sedate. Pied Piper, he looked like someone who dislocated his shoulder in the running. Like, Pied Piper should have won, 100%. Halka de Turbert, he was on a mare who's probably more of a stayer, and he sat motionless until getting to the last and then went after. Just, you know, was it a lack of match fitness or what? I don't know. But yeah, it was disappointing. But he definitely wasn't. Like, Davies, one of the best around Cheltenham, but he wasn't anywhere near his A game for me. The Pied Piper one in particular. If you go back and watch that, like, Davy Russell from 3 years ago would have won that race. Do you know what I mean? He just looked, honest to God, to me, I was like, is he after dislocating his shoulder? It looked like his left side, he was, yeah, just, there was something wrong. And I wasn't shocked then when he stepped down from the Gold Cup after it, because he looked like something was hurting him. But anyway, going on to the Turners, just thought it was overall probably disappointing race. Appreciate it. Disappointing. Mighty Potter, disappointing. Have to question whether Cheltenham suits him. Now, that's two disappointments in a row. Look, again, obviously, PK started asking us stupid questions at this point. What did he ask? Was it who would win around 10 furlongs at Pontefract on a Monday on good ground?
Yeah.
Nature Strip or Carrick Rambler? I think that's what he asked, was it?
Yeah, something like that.
Jesus, you're like, yeah, and Ruby.
Ruby's favourite type of question as well.
Ruby was like, Jesus, he wasn't happy now. Like, yeah.
See, Ruby, I thought Ruby looked like a tired man. Looked like a tired man. Looked like somebody who potentially needed a hug. But I don't think PK wasn't going to be the person. I don't think.
Oh, no, he was never going to let PK be the person, even if he was offering, you know. But like, yeah, this Turners, it's not one we're going to be remembering in 2 or 3 years' time, to be honest. It'll be like, do you remember when Stade Star won the Turners? Oh, Jesus, yeah, that was an offer.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Ryanair Francis, Ruby said he wouldn't have called Envoy Allen the winner in a month of Sundays before the race, but he did it pretty well. Rory after time proudly that he had copped Captain Guinness like an otter. And obviously, Henry de Bram has clearly kind of turned the corner that weekend before the very good race on the Sunday before Cheltenham and came in there in roaring form. And away goes Envoy Allen, Frank, and Shishkin. Little hint of a swine about Shishkin.
Look, first of all, I need to work on my identifying skin like an otter on horses. I have been spending a bit of time down the canal trying to spot one, but look, the missus is getting very worried when I said I'm heading down to the canal. But I said, don't worry, I'm only looking for otters.
Yeah, and it's not an otter, Frank. It's just a big rat.
It's just a big dirty rat. Yeah. talking of big dirty rats, Shishkin, I think just Shishkin just, we were very much against him, and this is an after timing. Anyone who was on our site could see we were boosting him because we had a theory that if you run a big time figure, you need at least 6 weeks off to be able to run to that sort of level again. And he was returning in less than 4 weeks, and we felt it was a good chance he was going to underperform. Now the problem was, you know, he probably needs to underperform by about 10 pounds to get beaten. But I'm pretty
he's
sure
he's clearly very talented. Like,
oh,
when he gets his act together, he's like to stay on into second when he just went, okay, I'm going
to
go now.
To finish second was a massive run, considering, I swear to God, after two fences, we thought he was going to get pulled up. We were like, Jesus, same as last year. And he hit a few fences. Like, which one was it? 3 out or 4 out? He absolutely walloped it and nearly came down. And to still finish second was a mighty effort, to be fair to him. Now, I just think he's run too, like, there is a history of horses running huge in the Ascot Chase and running disappointing at Cheltenham. It's just too close. You know, I think you'd probably let him, like, realistically, if you want to give him another run, I think, like, maybe Sandown for the Oaksy Chase. That's 2-6, isn't it? Or even punt, like, I don't think it'd be the worst idea in the world to run him in the Punchtown. Well, I suppose Galopin Deschamps might be there, would he? But you could give him an entry.
But you're thinking like he could shape into a 3 mile chaser even next season.
But you're even typical Nicky Henderson going, oh, I think we might have run him in the wrong race. He needs further. You know, Nicky just come out and say, look, he was beaten fair and square, can he? Yeah, I wouldn't give up on him completely, but I just think he's a horse that needs time between his races, maybe, when he's running so big anyway, like big numbers. Yeah, like, you know, I think what you'd probably be doing with him next year is like aiming to run at Christmas and going to Cheltenham fresh would be what I'm thinking. And Envoy Allen, We weren't too negative about him, but we did think the ground probably was a little bit soft for him. We would have liked him more on good ground. Wasn't a great result. It was the second. Obviously, we were all out to get Shishkin, so he was a bad result if he had won. But then Violin was the second worst result in the book. He was very well backed. You know, an element of the Rachel factor. But look, at all stages, he was going well. And when he's on a going day, he's a very good horse, as we know well. And he was just on a going day. Henry's horses weren't having an excellent week of things. And you wouldn't trust him to back that up now at Punchestown, mind. But
yeah, you'd be thinking he could bounce to the moon after that, really.
I just wouldn't. He's not a horse again. I'd back, you know, out again quickly. I thought GA Law ran on well. Surprised they took him out of the Grand National. Clear. Oh, actually, he wasn't qualified, was he? I thought he ran a really nice race. I wouldn't be surprised if maybe they upped him to 3 miles for the bowl at Aintree. And I thought French Dynamite ran well, considering he would have had plenty to find on the ratings. He was only beaten 6 lengths. Like, he's rated £8 inferior to In Violin and £19 inferior to Shishkin. So I thought it was a mighty run from him too. But yeah, look, I don't think it was a Ryanair for the ages.
A Paddy Power Stairs hurdle, possibly not for the ages either. Sire de Burley, a turn up for the books, literally. And producer Mark collapsed at this juncture on the main show whilst they discussed the real Mark Walsh winning the Stairs hurdle aboard Sire de Burley. Frank, obviously a bit of a shock. It was an end-to-end gallop that turned into a funny finish, did it?
It was strong pace. It wasn't a pace collapse, definitely not looking at the finishing speeds and all the rest of it. Would you believe a horrible result for us in Paddy Power? Sire de Burley, big massive price. He was the spotlight tip for the race, which can result in a horse over-indexing when they're a big price. So he actually ended up being our worst result in the race by a long way.
Good for you. Good
so
for
it was
you.
Horrible. But look, you have to give it to him. His course record's exceptional. He won 2 per attempts of Stairs Hurdle. Was he second in Stairs Hurdle as well once?
Possibly, yeah.
Unbelievable. But underwhelming race for me, really. Yeah, I'm pretty sure if you ran that again in a month, you'd probably get a completely different result.
It's there for the take in that division at the moment, isn't it?
Oh, it is, yeah. I wouldn't expect him to come back as a 12-year-old and defend, we'll put it that way.
No, yeah. Anything else quickly worth a mention on Thursday?
Pretemps, good time, Johnny. How well handicapped was he? I saw a lot of people Twitter going, what a ride. I don't buy into that at all. I think it was what a win, despite the ride maybe not being brilliant. Got in all sorts of trouble. Didn't jump great. Just absolutely, unbelievably well handicapped. Like, you know, you're kind of turning in. You're like, hopefully he'll run on into a place. But he's absolutely like run away from him the last furlong. Really good training performance by Tony Martin. And you know, I enjoyed there. Ryan McHugh or Trader was saying it was the 7-furlong run on the flat of Galway that, you know, kind of suggested Pretemps to him. Yeah. How he liked him. Look, just a couple.
It had all the hallmarks of a Pretemps preparation.
Oh, that was exactly
your man. It.
It
was the beneficent colours as well. Do you remember your man Big Red there? The fellow. He was running around the track there, roaring a ball, and they had a great time.
Oh yeah, no, he was a very good winner. And I would give a mention to Salvador Ziggy. I thought he ran an absolute cracker in his first start since October off top weight. He's very much unexposed over 3 miles. He might be worth chancing greater races over 3 miles next season, like particularly when the division's so open. I thought Aidan Kelly gave him a great ride. Walking there, didn't get the best of luck. I do think if Nico was a stone cold killer, he might well have won. And I'll tell you why, because him and Good Time Johnny are kind of going for the same gap coming to the last hurdle. And if Nico was, you know, as I said, a stone cold killer, he'd have put Good Time Johnny out. And he didn't. He kind of hesitated. Good Time Johnny got the gap. And, you know, he was inconvenienced as a result. He probably remains on a good mark. And for David Jennings' sake, I hope he wins soon. but I think he was on the right path with that horse. He was unlucky. But yeah, I think the best handicapped horse did win. In the plate, Houghton Calore, soft in the finish, this horse. Thought he should have run the Carl Cup. He was £6 low over hurdles. I think the old course would have suited him better. Maybe not put such emphasis and stamina. Fugitive, he might make up into a graded integrate a company next year. He's improved with every start this year. Ran an absolute cracker again from a 6 pound higher mark to finish second. Brilliant training performance from John McConnell to win from Seddon. A career high mark as a 10-year-old. Outstanding. Jeffrey caught the eye running on into fourth. Might be worth stepping up to 3 miles. He is in the Irish National, but I wouldn't know about his stamina for that trip. And Marvel de Cerisi is one I wouldn't give up on. Very well backed on handicap debut over fences. Another one of these ones that was smashed in the exchange, you know, around midday. I think went from about, again, you know, double figures into 6.1 or 6.2 or something in no time at all. He didn't run too badly. The mistake was a 3 out and to get the clearest of runs. I thought he might be one for the 2.5 novice handicap chase at the Punchtown Festival that Ed Barrow won last year.
Right, oh, day four, we've got 10 minutes, Frank, so watch the clock. Triumph Hurdle, strong hand for Willie Mullins. That could get even stronger, I think. Takao, obviously a busted flush in the Boodles, and he's had Parmenion win well in Leopard's End since, and then he had a 1-2-3 in the Triumph. He could hold all the aces in the remaining top-level juvenile races, either in Aintree or in Punchestown.
Yeah, you forgive Takao. The false starts cost him. He went berserk after that. Look, I don't think it was the strongest run Triumph ever, as in the pace wasn't overly strong, and it definitely played to Lassie Mount's strength. She's got a serious turn of foot, and that's what won her the day, really. She was well-positioned and quick and up lovely, one-handy. I think Garma Soul would have preferred a stronger pace to chase, and I wouldn't discount her chance of reversing in a strongly run race. Like, you know, if one where they went proper hard, I think that's what she wants. Zenta ran a cracker. She has loads of ability. And Blood Destiny, very poor. I had concerns with, I don't think Patrick was maybe the right jockey for him either. No, just Blood Destiny, the way he'd been winning his race from the front, I prefer Patrick maybe be more held up and stuff. And it just never went for Blood Destiny. He was beaten a long way out.
What does Lazio Mount do next year?
I don't know. Nothing in open company anyway.
Nothing in open company.
They're still a million. Like, you know, like, she's very good, but what's she rated? 145 max.
Yeah.
You know, even give her a 7 pound penalty. Like, Stateman's rate in the mid 160s. I think Imperial Pass will get there pretty handy as well to the mid 160s. So she'll have to prove an awful lot. And I don't think she's one for a really strongly run race. I think she'll get found out.
Work to do. Righto, Gold Cup, Frank, the feature race on Friday. Ruby Walsh said it had everything. Horses running well, as well as blowing out. An electric winner. Frank, what were your thoughts? Does Galopin Deschamps kind of kick on from here and win a couple of Gold Cups? Is he that good?
Yeah, I'd have to think so. If you look at horses who win the Gold Cup at 7, if they can stay fit, they generally come back and win again, don't they? He's every chance.
So we can look forward to seeing him and Tremore, the one run, and then straight to...
I suppose he's proved he can go to Leopardstown and the DRF. Oh, no, sorry, he went to the John Durkin, wasn't it? The DRF and Cheltenham. He was a very good winner, you know. Good ride. I wouldn't buy into it, you know, one of the best rides of all time. Good ride. He was on the best horse as well, like, you know. Just an incredible horse, to be fair. Brave Man's Game ran an absolute cracker. Disappointed to see a High Senor fall. I thought he jumped really well up to then, and he didn't deserve that. And of course, he took down the horse side back, Sounds Russian, who, I'm not saying he definitely would have won, but he was going all right as well. I thought there was a chance he might run into place. But look, the best horse won, and he could win 2 or 3 potentially. It'll take a good one to beat him. And, like, it's not like you can go right next year. We'll try and go steady and out sprint him, because we know he's very quick as well. So he has very little, if any, weaknesses.
A quick word on our old pal Hewick, Frank. Obviously, Shark Power is available to watch on the Paddy Power YouTube at the moment, and with episode 4, the race day itself, still to come in the next couple of days. Running an absolute screamer, probably beaten when falling, but running an absolute blinder.
Oh, he was beaten, but at the same time, he ran a brilliant race. Like, he was bang there turning in, like, you know, and obviously it looked like Brave Man's Game and Galopin Deschamps were going away from him. But like, he would have been top five at least, I think, if he'd stood up.
Yeah.
We know he stays further. Yeah, I thought it was a massive run. Just delighted he got up and he was okay. We're a little bit worried there for a little bit because he just seemed to come down his neck. And you're like, oh, Jesus, please be okay.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's not going to run the Grand National Sharks and he's going to go to Punchestown. But you look, I think he more than justifies his entry in the Gold Cup anyway. You know?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
He ran a massive race and fair play to them. And, you know, there's a good race in him yet somewhere.
Oh, yeah. They've got lots to look forward to for sure.
Maybe Down Royal in November if the ground was half decent. Mm. Do you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely. They're definitely talking about going back for another crack and giving him a run beforehand anyway. So, lovely stuff. Albert Bartlett, stay away, Faye. What were your thoughts?
Very good performance. I think Corbett's cross was beaten when he ran out.
Do you think so? Yeah.
I think definitely. He was. I wasn't definitely, but I think he was, yeah. Okay. I thought it was a good performance from the winner. And it just backs up the theory that Hermes Alain was below form. Because the two of them have been working together, I think, and there was a positive report for Stay Away Faye that, you know, he's working as well as Hermes Alain. I thought Sander Clegane was a little bit unlucky.
Yes.
Ran a huge race. One of the lads in the office there, one of our Skybet colleagues, Stephen Bailey, was putting up Afferdale Fury, ran an absolute massive race.
Another one,
second
yeah.
at 150.
150 to 1, yeah.
Huge race. I would give a mention to Let's Be Clear About It for Gavin Cromwell. Didn't quite see out the trip, I thought. Dropped back to 2.5 miles or maybe an easier 3 miles would suit. He travelled really well. I said didn't quite get home. There's a nice race in him. Maybe even a decent handicap somewhere. And Thomas Moore is another one, I think, that might win a nice handicap next year. From that race.
So lots to pick out from the Albert Bartlett. Fox Hunter's good story, Frank, but a skinner for the punter, 66-1. Bradley Gibbs getting the job done.
Absolutely. Puke fest for me because I actually backed Premier Magic last year.
Did you?
I did. I was very keen on it last year. And obviously pulled up after a circuit.
Yes.
And then we're coming to three out and I was like, oh bollocks.
Here we go again.
This is don't do it to me. Good winner in fairness. Thought Rocky's Howie ran a good race from the front for Declan Queeley. Wouldn't give up on him yet. He's only a 7-year-old. He only gave way late enough.
He could poke his head up and punch us down there, couldn't he?
Punch down, maybe even Aintree, you never know. Yeah. You have to give mention to Shantou Flyer finishing third. Yes. That was his fourth or fifth time placing at the festival. Incredible. False Slate, a little bit disappointing. I do think, and I might get fucking Slate for saying, is Barry O'Neill a little bit panicky on him? You know?
First A.B. Russell, now Barry O'Neill.
No, but like, you almost
Nobody's safe.
No, but you almost sense he so wants a winner so badly that, you know, like
when you go chasing it, you're trying too hard.
Yeah, like rather than, I don't think he rode him like he's the best horse in the race, you know? I think he got a little bit, you know, I need to be closer, and may his move a bit. Look, the horse seemed to underperform a bit too, so maybe I'm being a bit harsh, but there was an element of that, I thought, that now he went very close with Stumptown and the Kimmure, to be fair, so maybe I'm being harsh, but I think I'd like to see him get a winner and get that monkey off his back. I'm right in saying he hasn't had a Cheltenham Festival winner yet, aren't I?
Pretty sure.
I'm pretty sure he hasn't. So, yeah, look, I think if he gets one, he might get a good few in a row.
Brings me nicely on to my next point of conversation. Brian Hayes breaks his Festival Duck on Impervious and the Paddy, Mrs. Paddy Paramare's chase. Impervious so tough, so game, and it's an excellent mare. The lads mentioned she could shape into a Ryanair type in time. But, Frank Hickey, trivia for you. 8 Irish jockeys rode their first Cheltenham Festival winner last week. Can you name them? Obviously, you've got one, Brian Hayes.
Brian Hayes. Yeah. Michael O'Sullivan.
2.
Aidan Kelly.
3.
Let me go through the races now in my head.
You mentioned one already. Who gave a bad ride but still won?
Oh, yes, Lee McKenna.
Yeah.
I wasn't a bad ride, but it wasn't.
No, like go on. You may as well. You're slating everyone. You may as well say slating poor Aline. Go on, anyway. Four. Go on. Halfway.
Oh, Young Cleason.
Yes. Five. Ready to go.
Three, two, go. Trying to think. Oh, who rode Seddon? Harvey.
Ben Harvey, yes.
Ben Harvey.
Two to go. You're struggling, I'd say, are you?
No, I'm just going through the race in my head.
You've got 10 seconds. Five, four, three, two, Dr. O'Keefe and Pat King. They were the other two.
Oh, I never would have got Pat King. Yeah. Oh, I was thinking, yeah. Dr. O'Keefe and Moscato, yeah.
And to round out our Cheltenham Festival conversation, the dogs were barking for Rocco, and the biggest dog was Frank Hickey. Frank, congratulations. You got out in the lucky last.
I got Rocco. Out. I got out, thank God. Yeah, look, I've been very keen for a while. Felt it was a bit of a plot, particularly when I know the way you're thinking wasn't even entered in the Martin Pipe.
A bit of a plot, but still coming into the race off the back of two wins. So.
But at the same time, people are always looking at the Irish horses from Gordon and Willie that are unexposed. And, you know, he'd run into handicaps and you could say shown his hand to degree. Like, you know, he'd gone up £10 for the win the last day. So he's just a very good horse. He's one to be half on your radar for, say, a Brown Advisory next year. I think he's going chasing. He's only five. He'd be six next year. Like, what's he going to go up? He won half 1.38. Imagine he go up to 1.45. He's more on him. Like, he's a 150 plus horse, no bother. And could improve for stepping up and trip as well. Strange race in that he was very well positioned for most of it. You know, maybe in fourth, in behind the leader on the rail, and just got trapped behind Hollow Sound as he weakened and completely lost his position, turning in to go down the hill. And it looked like his chance was gone. But you fair to Aidan Kelly, he got him running again, and you know, kind of coming to the last year, like, you know, get up for a place, and then Buddy One goes left and Norney Joe goes right, and it just parted like the Red Sea, and up the middle he came. And to be fair, the desk in the office got a fair whack now, 50 yards from the line, and like the division CEO and everything was in there, and they were like, "What is this?" No, they were delighted because it was a Skinner in the book too, because we ducked it the whole way, and gave it a mighty we had like tipping competition and work as well, and that was my nap for the Friday, and if we made a profit, it was an extra £500 on the bar tab. Oh. So that got the bar tab a bit of a boost. Now, I didn't go out Friday night, I was too tired, but the young lads did, so I was given the desk.
You're a young lad, you're still a young lad. Stop this nonsense.
Sure, come here. I'm closer to the grave than I am fucking the maternity hospital.
Come here, tell me. The lads put together 2024 Cheltenham Festival Lucky 15, and they went with Impervious in the Ryanair, Galloping the Champ in the Gold Cup, Constitution Hill in the Champion Hurdle, and Blaze in Cal and the Stairs at 33-1. Obviously the grade ones for next year are priced up at the moment. Lucky 15 for the Cheltenham Festival next year, go.
Champion Chase, El Fabiolo.
Yes.
Ballyburn.
Yes.
Mayor's Novice Hurdle, See You in My Dreams.
Yes.
And then I'm torn between two. Between In the Pocket and the Turners and Halka de Tarbert and the Mayor's Chase.
Well, pick one.
We'll go Halka de Tarbert and the Mayor's Chase. Hoping that Impervious will go to the Ryanair.
Very good.
But like, look, come here. At the end of the day, barely pick winners the week of the bloody thing. That's 51 weeks out. Like,
I know. But sure, look, you have a little bit of a Midas touch about you. Rocco now will leave punters. Looking forward to next year already. Frank, thank you very much for your time.
Hello, Bart. Pleasure.
Really enjoyed that. Thank you for listening as well. Make sure you're subscribed to the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel. Lots of racing content coming at you over the next couple of weeks, including the concluding episode of the Sharp Power series following Hewick's journey from £800 to the Cheltenham Gold Cup. There's also a rewind coming up with Joseph O'Brien in advance of the Dubai Carnival, and you've got lots of other racing content coming to you on that platform as well. As well as, make sure you're subscribed to the From the Horse's Mouth podcast. You've got Fridays with Fran coming this weekend ahead of Dundalk, and you'll have weekend tipping coming to you on Friday. And of course, the turf, the flat season returns, Curragh and Naas this weekend in Ireland. What's in England, Frank? Is the turf season back in England?
No turf season.
No, they're next
Saturday
week
at Doncaster. Yeah.
No,
there's a few bumpers in Donny that day. I think Newbury have, you know, the mayor's novice handicap hurdle and a few more races, and Kelso's on as well.
Yeah, well, look, the 2-year-olds running this weekend in Ireland now will, they might need a snorkel looking out the window, but sure, anyway, they'll get through it. It'll be all right. Frank, thanks very much for your time. Thanks to you for listening. That was another episode of the From the Horse's Mouth podcast. And until next time, good luck and thanks.